Good morning, house. It's nice to see you. I'm worried here that the modulation's too high, that we're getting a little bit of distortion. I'll try to keep my voice down. I might also adjust the microphone just a bit here. Hang on. This is Jay Nemro, and, that's not the right one. That's volume control. Here we go, recording control. I'm just going to nip this thing down just a little bit so that hopefully we cut down a little bit on the distortion. There we go, right there. I hope that's a little bit better. We'll find out soon. I'm Jay Nemro, and this is Quasi Indefatigable Zenilith, and I just went back and listened to the previous recording, because it's been a few days. I'm on another big, long trip, and it's time to record some more. I was listening, and for some reason, the recording went back on after I had intended to shut it off, so on the last one, you got some pretty interesting things, a little bit about what I do. You know, I'm a computer tech, traveling computer tech, and it's kind of interesting. Hopefully I didn't give really bad advice, or else everybody in the world's going to know it. Oh no! What will happen to my career? Oh my gosh! That's okay. I've never been much of a career type anyway. I just do what I do, and I make the money, and I give it to my wife, and she's happy. She's happy because she has enough money to take care of our needs. I'm grateful for that. So, anyway, I think I'm going to go back and talk a little bit more about Godsend. The last time we left the story, we were just talking about Melisenda and her circumstances. I don't think we've actually really gotten to the story too much. We just got a little bit into Corin, and which is kind of an explanation of how the convocation works. It's really kind of a weird, twisted sort of meritocracy. Oh, great, I've got road construction here, so we might be sitting and waiting for some stuff while they do construction on me. Which means I'll be late getting to where I'm supposed to be, which won't make my boss happy, but that's fine. Alright, well, slowing down. I don't want to hit this guy in front of me. Big old cattle truck. Alright. Melisenda. We've already talked a little bit about Melisenda, about Corin, and about how all these things kind of work. If this is some weird, twisted system it isn't really to find the most capable people. That's really not its point. And to be honest, I don't think many systems are really designed strictly to get the best. There are some other considerations, usually pretty pretty slanted, pretty tied up in making sure those who are in power stay in power. And that's how it's predominantly done. You know, even in our culture, that's the truth. That, certain families want to stay in power, and it's important that systems kind of work that way to make sure those who are in power are there. To a certain degree, to be able to keep people working for you and keep working hard, believing someday that they'll be able to rise to this level of the rich and the powerful, you have to make it look that way. You kind of have to at least give it a little bit. And you have to have little snifters of it here and there, you know. Oh boy, I'm a second assistant vice president in charge of something inconsequential. And it's those kinds of jobs where you put the people who you really want to keep strung along on the string, you know, that really end up doing the real work, that really make the money for you, so that you're real president, your board of directors, your vice presidents, who are really just kind of groomed people that make a lot of money but really never really do anything because they really don't understand the business particularly. give a place for them. Of course, you're always trying to groom up the next generation. You're trying to make people, you know, you send them off to law school, you send them off to business school, so that they can be able to do all this stuff. And that's really what's true in every culture. It just depends on how it is. We're a very corporate, very business-oriented culture, and that's kind of where it comes from. That's why the rich and the famous go to certain schools. There's some certain schools that you go to if you come from a rich and famous, or a rich and powerful, sorry, not famous. Famous people are pathetic. Rich and powerful families, and, you know, and they tend to go into the law or into business, MBA, stuff like that. You don't see them going into anything else, because that's not what rich and powerful people can do. Oh, speaking about the famous, you know, the famous come and go. They're like little poster kids. They're like cardboard cutouts. You have them, people love them and respect them and throw money at them. Of course, there's rich and powerful people behind all these famous people. The famous people end up being front. And you pay, and sure, you pay them a lot of money. It's nothing compared to how much you're making. But you throw those people out there, and they're mostly just, you know, garbage. They are made to be raped and pillaged. And you're the one that's doing the raping and the pillaging. You rape and pillage them. You make sure they hang around long enough to get as much money as they can out of you, and then they toss on the trash heap. Watching some movies today where this was kind of a little bit of the undercurrent, the under theme. This poor actress. What was the movie? It's a pretty good movie. Notting Hill. My wife loves Notting Hill. And it's a good movie. But yeah, this is one of the big things she talks about when they're all kind of around a table after dinner, doing the after dinner conversation, talking about, you know, their trials and how terrible it is. And she talks about how terrible hers is. And although they don't give her the prize, you kind of do feel for her. That just in a couple of years, she's going to be on some trash heap. And she better the heck save up all the money she has right now, because she's going to need every penny of it later to try to survive. Because she's not going to be anybody anymore. She'll have to play that old actress circuit, you know. I always call them the people that get sucked into Lifetime movies, you know, the Lifetime channel. I don't ever watch it. You know, Lifetime channel for women. And that's where all the old actresses go after they've been rich and famous for a few years. And then you go on, you do movies for the Lifetime channel, because that's where washed up actresses go. Sounds bad. Makes it sound really good. That's okay. They're getting paid for it. They're reasonably happy, I suppose. They're still out there. Whatever reasons they went into acting so they could be rich and famous, this at least keeps them out there. They're not rich and they're not famous anymore, but at least they're not completely gone. Well, this isn't exactly how I thought this particular thing was going to go. I'm sorry. This is supposed to be about Godsend. So anyway, it's this whole thing. It's this whole thing about power and stuff. They're your front people who really kind of, you know, get played with. You could see, you know, a lot of conspiracy theories have to do with government and about those who are really in power in government and those who control those who are in government. You could think of George W. Bush, the president right now, and you can say, well, you know, he's really quite good at playing the game, I'd have to say. Probably better than Bill Clinton was. Everybody thought Bill Clinton was very, very good at playing the game. Personally, you know, when the Democrats say that the Republican Party is full of old, stodgy people drinking port and smoking cigars in a back room, controlling the universe, you know, I only have to say it's probably true. It's probably quite true. There's different kind of people that run the Democratic Party. I wouldn't say they're any better. I don't think we have a real clear picture of what kind of people they are. But But I would imagine it's the same thing. It's all about power and gain. It depends on how you get it. It depends on what you can do. The Republican Party tends to appeal to people who have a desire to be rich one day, have a desire to be wealthy. And, you know, everybody thinks, oh, well, that's just because they're only there for the wealthy. And you go, no, there's plenty of poor people that want to be wealthy, too. And that's why they're a part of that organization, part of that life. The Democratic Party is really about the underdog. And there's a lot of appeal to the underdog. You know, everybody feels good, you know. It's also the party of, I think, social workers. It really appeals to people who really want to be helpful. Unfortunately, most of the ways that we help people are pretty bad. When people say they're a social worker, I know they've got a good heart, but they're often so co-opted. They're often so much a pawn in a game that's so far beyond what they could ever fix, work out. And I'm not saying they're stupid people, since they're just, like most of us, quite powerless people. That, you know, that's why we have a lot of people, I think, that give up. That just say, you know, what difference does it make? I'm going to do what I do. I'm going to take my paycheck. I'm going to go home. If people get hurt, hey, you know what? That's the way it is. I can't do anything about it. We actually can, but it's really difficult. And will you really take some heat for it? Shoot, yeah. Will you really piss off the powers that be? Shoot, yeah. And when you do that, you know what? Chances are you're going to get eaten alive. So you kind of have to stay on the periphery. And that's where I live. I live in the periphery. You wouldn't know what the heck I did. You know, I kind of fall off most people's radar screens. You know, you say, oh, we can do a control factor. I'll just threaten Jay that I'm going to fire him and that he'll lose whatever he has. He's got a pension and he's going to lose it. And you go, no, I'm not worried about that. I change jobs so often, I don't even care. Am I going to work till the day I die? Probably. I've got a little bit of money built up. You know, it's in some funds, it's in some things. I'm a pretty conservative investor. So I'm not going to be rich in any sense of the word. But hopefully I'll have enough money when push comes to shove that I'll be able to, then I'll be okay. Anyway, okay. God. Okay, this thing isn't going to be about God, sin, at least not very much. Every time I try to get it back into God's stand, I wander off into some other territory, political, psychological, social. This is what philosophers do. I don't think you can really keep a good philosopher on target because there's just so much to talk about. There's just so much to have an opinion on. Yesterday was a Sunday at the dinner table, and my mother was over, and I forget sometimes that I can be a really intensely cynical person, and I think it's an easy thing to become, and there's actually a lot of money, and people enjoy things. I think that's what talk radio basically is. That's the people who are successful in talk radio are cynics. I don't trust this, I don't trust that. People are evil, people are wicked. And you point the fingers at those people you think are wicked. And other people go, yeah, that's them. And that's kind of what talk radio is built on. This whole concept, there's a whole bunch of evil out there, and I'm going to show it to you. And, you know, my wife pointed out how cynical I can be. And I told her that she can tell me when I'm being cynical, and I'll try to stop. And she said, okay, you're going to get real tired of me saying, Jay, you're being a cynic. Jay, you're being a cynic. Jay, you're being a cynic. And she's probably right. But that's okay. I'm going to try really hard to stop being cynical. And if that means that these shows, that these podcasts aren't going to be very exciting anymore, I'm really sorry. Okay. Let me see what I'm back to. I'm on almost minute 15, and I haven't really gotten to anything yet. We should call this one the Hodgepodge. The Hodgepodge Podcast. Oh, Kai. Let me see. Godsend. What was I talking about? Oh, well, we were just getting to the stuff. I was just doing a recap on Corin. As much as I've wanted to on this story, I've wanted to make it so people could relate to it. That down deep you could see some real parallels between our culture and their culture, although it's quite a bit different. It's important that it is different, because if it's just exactly the same, it's not very provocative. It's not very interesting. People don't want to hear about their lives or their culture. They want to hear about other lives, other cultures. That's why I really love to watch TV shows or read books about famous people or people who have done amazing things. You know, that's much more interesting. Otherwise, you know, it's kind of boring. You know, it's like, oh, I live a boring life. You go, yeah, most people do. Almost everybody does. Even the rich and famous, they tend to live kind of a boring life, too. There's a lot of things going on. We don't, our characters in our programs and in our books, they don't tend to go to the bathroom. They don't tend to spend a lot of time eating or sleeping. At least we don't hear about it. And there's your, and that's pretty much the way it is, you know. We don't talk about the everyday stuff, because the everyday stuff is boring. I sat down, I brushed my teeth, I went to the bathroom. No. I had to sit on the pot for a long time, because I had to go to the bathroom, and it just was not coming. It wasn't coming on the way I had envisioned it should. So, there you go. So that's why I've got this different culture in Godsend. But it has a lot in common, and I want to make it kind of obvious so that when you see kind of the little glimmers of things that are common between our culture and the culture in Godsend, that you'll go, oh, you know, there's evil going on here. And you go, yeah, there's evil going on in ours, too. That's why we don't sit there and we don't pay attention to those who are in power particularly. Because, you know, they, number one, either are evil, or number two, they've been bought and paid for by evil, or if they were once good, they've been co-opted by evil. And that's kind of what's happening, and that's how the sorting system in the convocation works, is what kind of person are you going to be, you know? Are you going to, A, be evil, B, be a tool of evil, or C, if you're going to be this stupid twit who doesn't know what's going on, and you're actually working for evil and you don't even know it yet? It's really how much you understand how smart you are. Corin is probably one of those second things. I don't think she's just necessarily evil. She's not evil yet. My vision has always been that eventually she will become evil in her quest to rise in the convocation. Right now she's mostly a tool of evil. And everybody who gets up to the higher echelons has to at least start out this way until they learn enough and get cagey enough, and it has to do with how much information you have, and the other half is almost innate ability. Your ability to understand what people are doing. There's a whole lot that can be learned, but there's a whole lot that has to be kind of just your nature, what kind of skills and abilities you have. And that's why you always have to be kind of worried about those with great natural skills and abilities. That's why the convocation has to kill those ones off, or put them into another thing where they're relatively harmless, so that they don't upset what we would traditionally call the balance of power, which is just silly. It's just a bunch of powerful people saying we don't want things to change, because when things change, power shifts, and we don't want power to shift. We've got the power, we want to keep it. That's the way it is.
So.
Okay. I think you guys kind of have a picture there. Corin's one of those people. Mama Cinda's very, very different. She has knowledge that she's not sharing. She has ability that she's keeping somewhat stifled. For the very reason that she doesn't want to become a pawn. She doesn't want to have anything to do with it, honestly. But she doesn't know how to get away from it. She doesn't know how to break away from this whole thing. And maybe she's questioning at this point whether she wants to just go ahead and do the best she can within the convocation, try to make the convocation at least tolerable for herself and for others. She's got a very, she's got that social streak. She would probably be a, what we would term in our culture, a bleeding heart liberal. You know, always trying to make things better for everybody else, which is a wonderful thing to me. I'm not putting down them at all. They're wonderful people who really do make the life world a better place. Unfortunately, the way they get co-opted is probably the worst of all. They get turned into some weird person that straps people down, that, you know, that writes laws and strives to limit people's possibilities, their lives, because they're trying to make sure they don't, other people don't do things that are foolish. I'm not a believer in that at all. I think we should educate people, and I think they should seek out their own education, and that they would use that knowledge that they have to do what they think is right. I think bleeding heart liberals would do far better doing that. Of course, if there's a lot of people that don't want to be a part of their thing, they shouldn't have to. Right now, with the way schools are, you know, it's kind of a liberal institution. They're always trying to make these kids into whatever. You know, and every school is somewhat different. Not a lot, honestly. Because the same tactics are used. You know, you can say, well, this school, our biggest thing in this school is that we're going to do Earth Day. And we do Earth Day. Earth Day is every day of the year. You know, we're trying to get kids educated and smart so that they can go out and change the world. They can make the world a better place, reduce pollution, reduce poverty. And that's wonderful stuff, but if you have a kid that doesn't want to do that, why are they forced to go to that school? It's because of the location they live in. And just because the people who nominally, and that's what superintendents and principals are, they are nominally in charge. They really have absolutely no control, except that they can twist and tweak things a little bit, just a little bit. If the state says they can't do that, then they can't do that. Of course, they'll get upset and they'll move to another state where they still can do that. But someday they'll tighten down enough that these things won't happen at all. Boy. I'm sorry. It's already time to stop. This thing hasn't been about godsend at all. I officially proclaim this not a godsend podcast. This is about politics and power. But that's a godsend theme, but it's not, we never really got to talk about godsend. So let's go ahead and bring this one to a close, and then we'll see what happens on the next one. This is Jane Emro. You're listening to Quasi-Indefatigable Gentleness. I hope it goes better next time. Please, 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 please don't be a cow. If you're going to follow somebody, you choose who it's going to be. And you keep your eyes and your ears open so that you can know if this is really the kind of person you want to be following. If you're becoming the kind of person you want to become. So have a great day. Be free.